According to an analysis by Slate magazine, Washington State is ranked number one in the nation for our use of renewable energy sources. That's if you include hydroelectric power. Back in 2006, Washington voters passed Initiative 937, which required large utility companies to get 15% of their energy from renewable energy sources by 2020. That law does not count hydroelectric power, which already accounts for 60% of Washington's energy. Here to tell us whether we're on track to meet our 2020 renewable energy goal is Jessica Finn Coven. She's the director of Climate Solutions. It's a nonprofit group that works to combat global warming. She's also on the board of the Washington Conservation Voters. Jessica, why wasn't hydroelectric included in the 2006 initiative as a type of renewable energy, which this Slate survey does include that category?
Well, Ross, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. The renewable energy standard does actually say that hydropower is a renewable energy. It just says that this standard is about building off of our hydro base. So we know the clean energy that we already have in Washington, and now we want to build off that base and talk about clean energy of the future. So it's looking at getting new investment in new types of renewable energy here in Washington.
So how are the utilities companies doing in their goal of getting 15% of their energy from non-renewable and non-hydropower sources?
Well, I'm really excited to say that the utilities are doing great. We're on track. You know, the clean energy standard was set up with this 2020 goal, but also with interim standards to make sure that we are on track in meeting the goal. The first of these interim standards was in 2012, so just last year. So we have some data now that shows that all utilities are on track. All utilities met that 2012 standard, which was to invest in all cost-effective energy efficiency and to meet a 3% renewable energy goal. All of them met it, and that's great news. But for me, what's even more exciting than the fact that our utilities are on track is the fact that policies like our clean energy standard have resulted in renewable energy developers investing over $8 billion in projects here in Washington. That's over 5,000 construction jobs created and over 2,200 permanent jobs in clean energy here in Washington.
Jessica, you mentioned these non-renewable resources that are being expanded, like wind and solar and geothermal, have to be cost-effective. But what does that mean? Can you buy a kilowatt of energy from these sources for as little as you can from a coal plant or from a hydropower plant?
Well, so our clean energy standards has two components to it. The first is an energy efficiency standard that says that our utilities need to invest in all cost-effective energy efficiency, which you're right, means energy efficiency that is honestly cheaper to get than going out to buy new resources. So it's a smart thing to do. It's saving people money, saving our utilities money, and I'm really glad that our standard has that component. The other component is this renewable energy standard, 15% by 2020, and the utilities are all making small investments to go ahead and increase their amount of renewable energy.
You think we're going to hit the 2020 goal?
I have no doubt that we will. The utilities are making smart investments already. We're on track. And like I said, this makes a lot of sense for Washington. The state's already seeing the benefits.
Jessica Finn Coven, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thanks so much.
She's the director of Climate Solutions. Well, what's the green angle on growing marijuana? Not good. That's according to a recent study published by the journal Energy Policy. Producing a single joint, they concluded, can be equivalent to leaving a light bulb on for an entire day. Jeremy Moberg is a marijuana grower based in Okanagan County. He says the growers should be required to disclose their environmental impact when applying for a license to grow marijuana with the state.
I would like them to consider the environmental impacts. What is your electrical footprint? What is your carbon footprint? And really, you should have to report that in your license. And if you're above a certain level of emissions or electrical use, then you should be required to offset that.
Well, what do you think? Should that be part of the regulations governing the sale of marijuana to adults in our state? Should they be required to report on their environmental impact of growing that marijuana? You can write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.